Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy, and how are you?
Oh, everything's good. Everything's good. Hectic as always,
awesome.
But good.
Yes, I know.
I say that with a little bit of a joke, but you know, we were just discussing before the show is, no matter how many times we reinvent ourselves, we're always a little bit overwhelmed, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lots to do, and that's characteristic of older souls because they're always doers and busy, and, you know, that's their life. And even if you were to, like, totally change your job tomorrow, you would be within a week overwhelmed again because somehow
something
would step right in there and fill in all that space and that time. So I guess that's who we are. The one thing that I will say is that I never like to be bored in my life, and I can honestly say I'm never bored. Okay. So I think boredom is the worst thing. So maybe we just keep ourselves from that state of boredom and active and, you know, I'm looking, and I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to this weather as it's warming up a tad bit now. Are you looking forward to warm weather?
I'm actually looking forward to I'm looking for mountains to still go to, Cindy.
Okay. All right. You know, we just went to the Alps, TJ and I. You would have liked it there.
Yeah, I'm still looking for mountains right now. Like, I was very, very upset. My hunter trip that I usually go, my final trip of the year, was canceled because Hunter closed, and they were making snow up until that damn 80-degree day, and it screwed up my weekend. And, yeah, so now I'm, like, looking at Vermont, and I'm actually looking at it around the 4th of July going out west to, like, Tahoe or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, that's good. I mean, that's good. I mean, there's some mountains in New Hampshire, too. You know, Mount Washington,
yeah,
things
all
like
right,
that.
Though.
They're all right. I know.
They're
once,
all right.
Once you see the Alps, those are like, they're all right. You know what I mean? Well, I could tell you, you can drive down in Farmingville area, your Selden area. There is, what is it called, Appalachia Trail or whatever, the road. Do you ever go on that road? It's like nothing but steep. It's steep hills up and down. Could you imagine on Long Island?
Oh, there you go.
I
love it.
I mean, I love the way they call it, you know, Appalachia, but it's like cracks me up. And the one time I was on it, it was a very ice storm. And my car rolled back down Appalachia like, whoa, oh, my God. I mean, I was so not used to having, like, hills on Long Island. So, you know, you might want to take a ride down that road. You know, it's a little bit fun.
I will
fun.
Do this.
And it is all the way through, like, from where Middle Country Road. And it goes all the way down, you know, probably a couple of miles where it's just like these like hills and steep up and down. And it's surprising because it's Long Island. Like, how did that hilly spot like that happen? You know, like unusual.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, so.
Good
I'm
question.
Laughing. Because I was just on it recently and all I kept thinking, thank God it's not icy. Because I do remember the icy day, you know, and it wasn't very pleasant. So I'm kind
yeah,
of glad
I can imagine.
That, so, you know, that's interesting. Well, we always, always have a lot of listeners and, you know, some of them obviously have called in before because they're pressing one and
yes.
You know, the rest of the people, if you want to talk to us, do have to press one. We don't know that you want to talk
yes.
to us. You know,
absolutely.
And
if you have any questions at all and you want us to pick you up, you need to press number one so that we know that we have to answer you.
Exactly. So, you know, we have a few people that we won't know who they are when we pick up. So it's always a little bit of a gamble. But
hopefully they'll be normal. I don't know. I hope
so. All right. So you want to start with the first one, which looks like California to me.
I don't know, but they've been waiting the longest, so we're going to see what happens there.
All right. So,
hello,
the last
7719. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, ladies. It's Camille in Alameda,
hello.
California.
That's who I thought it was.
Hello,
I said,
Camille.
This looks like Camille. Okay, Camille, we're always glad to hear from you. So, how's things coming in and going for you in California?
So far, so good. It's a bright, sunny day here. And I remember when I contacted you guys in November, unfortunately, my call was dropped. So this was a continuation on the same issue in regards
to
my home.
All the way from November. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you might want to fill in our listeners with what we were discussing that day, and then we'll zoom in on what's happening, hopefully, to change your situation for the better at this point.
Yes, well, this situation is in regard of my home, and I fell delinquent in my homeowners association fees and my property taxes, and I have since had to, I'm working with someone who is helping me get everything all current. So that's a big development from November through now, so just wondering how the situation will unfold.
Okay, well, it does look like you will turn out okay money-wise, and that, you know, are you outside or something? Because it sounds like there's wind.
I'm in a windy, but yeah.
Okay,
windy.
So just so people know, it's your windy area.
Yeah.
That it looks like it will turn out okay. It should be resolved in the next month or so. So are you pushing to get this resolved sooner than later?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, ma'am.
And do you have plans to try to hopefully this won't happen anymore, by the way?
Yeah, things are starting to improve for me.
Good. I know you're a single mom and, you know, lots of that is happening.
Oh,
but it looks very good. And is this person helping you legally? Is this a legal person?
Legal, financial, got me pre-approved for a loan. And if anything comes up, he discusses something, okay, with this attorney and break it down what's going on. So, yeah, there is legal and financial.
Right, because, you know, when you're dealing with, like, co-op boards or you know, things like you're dealing with a, you know, apartment, you really have to have legal because they can be –
right.
I think they're worse than the Nazis, by the way, when you live with these people. They really, you know,
that's
it's
true.
Why I moved out of my co-op because, man, they have their own rules and their own everything, and they seem to be not too sympathetic, you know, what
right,
I found
right.
As a whole. But the loan looks very good, and it looks like you're going to start making a little money, so you'll be able to really pay off this loan. And you have a lot of good financial cards here. I remember you were trying to do sort of a coaching business or something. Was that what you were doing?
Yeah, life coaching, hypnosis, tarot.
Okay, and are you trying to build that business a bit?
I am building that, yes. Last week was a good week for me.
Okay, good, because that's what it looks like. It looks like your own business will be building. And, you know, marketing that is kind of something I could see you need to do a little bit of. So try to market the business, but you definitely financially look much better. When is your birthday, by the way, the month and the day?
July the 13th.
Okay, good, because it looks like toward your birthday year is when you know, you're getting the Ace of Pentacles, which looks like a very good year money-wise from your birthday to the next birthday. So if you kind of play your cards right, your tarot cards right, and market some of this stuff, you should be doing very well financially.
Okay.
So
that's good.
You know, just I'm so glad you got some legal help because it looked like if you didn't get it, it looks pretty disastrous here otherwise. I can imagine you were getting nervous.
Well, yeah. And some things, you know, of course in these situations, property is very hot in my area. So some people knock down the door, we're the new owners of your house. Well, no, you're not. No. So I've got somebody working, the same man is working with me, and he's like, these people, they think they a shark, they think they got a fish. No, they really don't.
Right, good. And that's why I'm glad you wised up. But this is a very good year opening up for you.
Okay.
And, you know, again, you have a good business for a mom because you can do it on your own schedule, make your own schedule, and run a lot of it from your home. So it's perfect for you. So,
and the home is secure. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Thank
yes.
So
very,
much.
Very much so. Call in again and let us know. And you know, last week when you weren't calling in, we had Lena, who's homeless, and you know, we're not having any more of that happen. Okay.
No.
We're just making sure that, you know, that doesn't happen to you. So, thank you for taking care of me. Because, and good luck to you, and thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Bye.
Now, I could see we have John, and after that, you're going to go down to the 8395 all the way down because that's someone who had emailed me about wanting a reading. It's all the way down toward the bottom. Do you see that, Nicole? Nicole, are you there, hon? Okay, I guess Nicole's not here, so I'm going to just mark it in here next so that she'll know that. And, okay, we're going to go to John. Now, obviously, you have been screened, and I wonder if this is the John that I know.
Oh, this John is. Let me set this up for you first, Cindy.
Okay?
Because our lovely, lovely listeners know about John and Sal, and for the last few, you know, for the last few weeks, they've been hearing, you know, about John's woes with the girl and all that stuff, okay? Well, this is the John, Cindy. And
thought. I all of a sudden got a vibration, very strong, that this was, you know, our John, who everybody, by the way, has been emailing me saying, you know, this sounds like a great guy. How do I find one like John?
John has been listening to our advice, Cindy. He's been taking care of himself. He sounds much better than he has in the past when I pulled him into the chat room. So I'm going to let John tell you about his progress. And I think that you're going to be very, very pleased with the amount of work that he's been doing. So here is John.
Okay.
Hello, John. Hi. You're on the air.
Okay. Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, John. Everybody's glad to hear John. I mean,
I feel
really honored that we had John on the show tonight because you couldn't imagine the number of women emailing me saying, this is a great guy. So,
My thanks to everyone. And I got to be honest with you. Every time I get on the phone with you, I've been an emotional mess. And I don't thank you. And I have to stop and thank you so much for all the help you've given me so far because it's just been immensely helpful to me. And I'm grateful for that for the help you've offered me unconditionally.
And you know what? And thank you so much for saying that because, you know, I do have a difficult job because most of the people that come to me are in pain. And I'm so glad to hear someone say, well, you alleviated a little bit of it. You know what I mean? Like, we can't fix things, but if we feel like you've got somebody listening to you and somebody cares about you, somehow it feels like, well, this soulmate love that you have that's going through all its ups and downs, it's opened up other people loving you. We love you. Your friend Sal's been helping you. So did you realize how soulmate love does kind of bring more love into your life one way or the other?
You know, I got to tell you, it's really amazing because through this, I've been trying to work on myself really hard. I've been, you know, I set up my freaking place to set up a candle factory from black and yellows to reds and whites and to blues. And I've taken the advice of getting myself clear, you know, cleansing myself and oiling myself every night after the shower. There I am in my birthday suit in front of all the candles at one station at a time. Asking for forgiveness, asking for the third eye to open up in Vivian, and all those wonderful things. And there are times where I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? This is out of my mind. I don't know this is going to work. Doubting it and then just having blind faith. And what happened was I just started really digging into my yoga experience again, where I go to a yoga studio in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I go about four or five times a week. and it's the only thing that helps settle my mind, and it gets me to get to sleep another night, you know?
Wow.
Now,
can you see how you're not self – at first you wanted to kind of self-destruct when you know, just crying and so upset from the loss of a soulmate. But when you really want to honor a soulmate that was brought to you, you create, you heal, you get better, and you turn to spirit. So this soulmate has really opened your heart and your soul. Can you see that?
Oh, I'm wide open, and I am definitely a very big, powerful energy. A lot of people have been telling me, John, you're just such bright energy, and you're full of love, and you're such a good person. And sometimes you don't see that in yourself, you know, because you're so busy in life. But I got to tell you, there's not a day I don't go by where I don't shed a tear.
I know, of course, and that's you're not going to stop loving her, so it's a waste of energy to try. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the best thing you can do is send her love on the soul plane. Try to be the best person you can be, so that, you know, if she walks back in your life sooner than later, you're ready. You don't want to be a holy mess when she walks back. You want to be strong. And you need to pray the prayer that we always say on the show, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And pray to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. Because that will be a prayer that the universe hears. And, you know, I'm sure you're getting a little bit of messages from her on the soul plane. Do you ever get something like a song comes to you and you feel like she's sending you a message?
I walked into a place that never plays the song of Creedence, and I heard Creedence. That's our favorite band together. And I'm going to tell you something else. I have a friend of hers that she knew for 20 years in on Reed Street. Her daughter went to school with her daughter. And this lady told me that Vivian was very, very private. So she ran into Vivian 2 weeks ago, early in the morning, on a train on a Wednesday, on her way to do chemo. And she just said hello, and Vivian thanked her for her book, because she's a stage 4 cancer survivor, this lady. And she thanked her for the book. And then Vivian, I don't know, I got into it by telling her, hey, listen, by the way, do me a favor, don't talk to John about me, because I'm not with him anymore, and he's back with his wife and all that stuff, and then it was like kind of, you know, we're done, you know, and I was like, and when the lady told me this, I was by her house last night until 11 o'clock, she told me this, I was devastated. I was like, why would she tell you this? She says, John, that's not bad. I said, what are you talking about? It's not bad. She says, she's talking about you. She's thinking about you. That's why she's talking to me. She never told me anything in 20 years about her personal life. She's very personal. So then I get home. I'm laying in bed. I'm saying, wait a second. Usually every 10 to 14 days, I can't last without 14 days without getting a note to her or slipping something on the door or dropping a flower or something. Now it's the 23rd is when I did that message in the Bible. She's telling me this, we're done and move on. It's now the 20th. It's almost a month. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, she's probably trying to pull me back in because I would hear something like that and say, she's crazy. I got to let her know that's not true. And I'm
not
doing
exactly
that.
But you didn't take the bait.
I didn't take the bait right now.
Right, and she knew that message would be delivered. And you see how when you're doing your yoga and you didn't respond right off the cuff, you had call her up, you know, mad or, you know, what are you saying this for? You thought about it, meditated on it, and then you heard truth. Oh, my God. She wanted me to get suckered into this so that she could, like, yell at me or scream at me or say,
No,
work.
She won't answer. She wants to stay in power, and that empowers her, knowing she's got me waiting.
Exactly.
Okay, so she pulls me in that way, and I'm like, and then she can go another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks without seeing me or whatever, because that's that little baby game she likes to play with
then
me.
Then she also knows that you're still, you know, she still got you if you answer her, so... But you're following what we try. You know, we told you.
Yeah,
you
guys told me. You guys told me stay the course. That's all I hear. I feel like a captain of a ship. Saki's been saying, stay the course.
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
And stay the course. And you know, in a moment of weakness, don't try to contact her.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
And,
I
and
want
what
her
I'm
to
seeing
walk
is
that
the soulmate card still coming up. You know, she has to do some of her inner homework. And cancer is a wake up call. And if we don't heal the stuffed down anger and our childhood issues or our marital issues that weren't right and we stuff it down, it ends up to be cancer. And cancer is a wake-up call that you've been in a toxic place too long and your whole body is literally toxic. It's like you've been breathing in toxic fumes for like...
I get that.
And so
and I've
now,
heard
now once she's passed the, you know, the chemo and all
she
of that.
She finishes May 3rd, which is in 2 weeks, two more Wednesdays.
Right. Then she'll have time to settle down and get some of the wake-up calls in cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and part of it is, you know, God is saying to her, you know, you've been in a toxic marriage for a long time. You need to get out of it. You know, you almost could have died from this. We're giving you another chance at life, so choose again. So
does she come back to me? Does she come back to me?
It looks really promising here. So, again, you have to just keep doing what you're doing.
Stay dark, right?
And just don't contact her, but stay healthy. I'm so glad you said you're doing your yoga because...
Wait, I got to tell you something else. Tonight, I met this girl in Chicago on a plane coming home probably about 9 months ago. She does the yoga. She does the Reiki. She does all that. Today, I went to her place in Manhattan. What a top-notch, fine place, okay? It's called, what's it called? Forget the name of the place because I'm so excited right now. But I went in there, and when we saw each other, we just hugged each other so tight. And I was like, I missed you so much. I felt so connected to her. I said, she's gone right now, and she just, like, did this energy thing with me, you know? She said, I'm so glad you came. She said, I made space for you, and you came. I'm hanging out with her. I told Sal, you know, I met these couple of girls that I went out with. Nothing. I don't like it. I don't like dating other girls because I'm so in love with Vivian. But this girl right here, I'm going to have a lot of fun with because she does the yoga like I like, and she does all these little things. And she said, you could come with me anytime you want. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be your pilot fish right now on my off hours because I really need you. I feel so connected to you. And she's okay with it. She knows I got a girlfriend, so I don't have to worry about, you know, anything going further than just being friends, you know? And I'm really excited.
But now you can see you're opening your soul,
yep.
And you're finding soulmate friends everywhere.
It's crazy.
You have so much love to give, and it's flowing out of you. And that's what I love for our listeners who are brokenhearted. When you have a soulmate love that isn't working out at the moment or separated from, is it time to open your heart to love, extend that love to everyone, and have it come back in you so that you're healing and you could see instead of self-destructing, because a lot of people self-destruct.
Cindy, I've been very, very close to self-destructing. I've thought of a couple of times that I shouldn't have done to myself, like, you know, checking out and stuff. I've thought of that.
No kidding. And that's kind of what people will feel like
mm-hmm.
when a soulmate love doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
In soulmate love is she has opened your soul. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I had a soulmate relationship that didn't work out, I remember one of the smartest things this man said to me was, it isn't so much me you're in love with, it's the you that you are when you're with me. You
mm-hmm.
have to be that woman with every person you meet because that's mm-hmm. you. And so you have to be that John that you feel like when you're with Vivian to everybody, which is a happy, loving, giving person.
She's opened your soul and
blessed that. But I see really good things for you, and I can't thank you enough for calling into our show tonight because you've been calling
this.
For weeks.
Yeah, and, I have been. I
and people have been worried about you. And
I want to say one thing to you. Let me just say one thing to you, right? She's out of her mind if she don't come back because she's not going to find anything like me in her lifetime, anything.
And
I'll tell you, you've got that right,
by the way, because
she'll be
responsible for the ending of the soulmate relationship, not you. And so she would not be granted another soulmate anytime soon, 5,
right.
10, 20 years. You would be granted another one because you're not responsible for it. So her spirit guides are telling her he's not going to wait for you forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, step
Does
up
she
to
know
the
that?
Plate and start moving.
Does,
yes.
Does she know that?
Yes, she knows that.
Is she afraid of losing me still?
Yes, she's afraid of losing you. She's afraid of loving you, too. So we got to get the fear of losing you greater than the fear of loving you.
And how do we do that? Just stay in the dark?
Just stay in the dark. But you keep centering yourself in love and light
mm-hmm.
and keep sending that to her.
Okay.
And she will hear it. And you'll get her messages back through, like you said, you walk in a restaurant and a song's playing. Maybe a license plate has her initials on it. You know, she'll commune to you like a dead person communes right now.
Will she look for me soon?
Two signs. It looks like give it a little time. Give her like a few weeks, at least until a few weeks after the chemo ends, because she needs to start feeling physically strong again.
Right.
She's physically pretty weak right now.
Well, no, she's been taking the train for chemo, and she wears a wig, and the girl who knows her really well says she looks pretty good. Not for
right,
nothing.
But
she's not gaunt.
Right, but she doesn't feel that well. And,
right, okay.
And also just wearing the wig, all of that, I mean,
yeah.
You know, sometimes they say that women losing their hair is harder than the cancer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a lot. So
well,
just
I hear
bear with
May.
It. It looks like toward the end of May.
Really?
So,
do you see us back together again?
With her husband?
No, do you see us back together again, me and her?
Yeah. I see that it's you got a really good chance here. And again, be a little patient and, you know, hang in there. And, you know, she does love you. That hasn't changed. Okay? She still loves you. And she's just a little bit afraid of that because to her, love is pain. So notice how she's making this love painful.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have to learn love isn't pain. Love is peace and joy.
That's what everybody tells me. Love is not supposed to hurt.
Right. And she everyone she's ever loved has hurt her. So she's making this love turn into hurt. So she's going to have to think and meditate on that. Why am I turning something that's felt so good into something that's feeling so bad?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what her spirit guides are trying to guide her toward. So do us a favor and, you know, call
yeah.
in again in the next, you know, in the next few weeks and let us know what's happening.
Okay.
And we'll pray that she calls you.
Okay.
Because you know you need that.
Oh, God, yeah, I do. This is crazy.
Well, good luck to you, and we'll speak to you again soon.
All right, thanks so much, Cindy. I appreciate
You're
all your help.
Bye.
Again. Bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, isn't that a nice call? That was wonderful.
Awesome.
That was wonderful.
What?
It was just
I love it. But it's listen, this is what was and you know what I mean, I love John and I had to give more than once I had to give John a little bit of tough love, you know, because he is better. He is better and he was better than his behavior, you know, than the way that he was reacting. And I love to hear that he's concentrating on himself. And I'd love to hear that, you know, what he's staying the course and doing the right thing. And that out of that, he's getting exactly what he needs, which is to hear how much love he has to give, which is to hear what a great catch he is. And I love, absolutely love the fact that a couple of weeks ago and over the course of this whole ordeal with him, the question has been, he's never going to find another person like her. And tonight, for the first time, I heard him say, you know what? Good luck to her because she's never finding anybody like me. And that's exactly the way that it should be. And I'm so proud of him.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it always makes us feel good when people let us know that, you know, what we've been guiding them has been helping because, you know, that's how I learned what helped and worked with people too, by hearing the feedback. You know, this works.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what doesn't work. So I was so happy with that. And, you know, I'm just so proud of him. So absolutely proud
yeah.
of him.
I think it's great, and you know what, and you still know that he's feeling it, you know, you still know that he's in pain, but you know what, pain or no pain, you got it's like doing physical therapy almost, you know, you're in pain when you do your physical therapy, but you know that doing that work is gonna make you better later, and you know what, he's doing the work, you know, and in the long run, he's going to be better for it later, and he recognizes it, and even though it hurts, he's pushing forward, and that's exactly what you need to do, and like I said, I could not be prouder of him today.
No, me neither, and I was so glad that we got to speak to him. Now, we did have a 201 number. Is it still there? Because I can't see it on my computer. That's
no,
the one I said we have to answer next.
Oh, okay, yep, I see the 201, yep, I got it.
Okay.
It actually dropped out, but it looks like it came back, so.
And then we'll do Jen, who, if you notice, the call dropped and she had to call back. So
yes,
I
saw that.
Okay, so we'll go to Jen. She's now, it doesn't show on my computer that it dropped, it shows it up on top, okay, but then I could see.
Okay.
Two numbers down. I don't know what's with Blog Talk tonight. So, you know.
Oh, I don't know
what's
with Blog Talk either. But we'll push through. We'll push through. So we're going to go to the 201 number, and then we'll hear from Jennifer. So here's
okay,
the 201
perfect.
That you can't see, Cindy, because I can see it, and we'll see
okay,
who's
great.
Waiting for us there. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Hi, and who is this? Who are we speaking to?
Oh, this is Lynn. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Lynn. Okay, I got the email from you, and of course, you know Susan, and I love Susan. Susan, I love, love,
I
love, love,
she's
love,
the best,
love.
Right? Yes, she is. She swears so, by you. She does.
Oh, she's a good listener, too. She's a client that, you know, I give her advice, and she follows it. You know what I mean? Some people, like, they'll come a year later after, well, it didn't work, anything work out the way you said it was. Like, well, did you follow any of the guidance? No. Well, I'm not surprised then. You know, you have to
right.
follow
oh, no,
the
she
steps
follows,
we give you.
Believe me, she follows.
Well, she's a teacher and a good student as well. So I love
yes.
that about her. So you might want to fill in our callers. I know what what you said in my email, but why don't you just let our callers know why you're calling in?
Well, I'm actually seeing like a few guys, but there's one that I really like, and I feel like he's just not giving me what I want. He's been divorced a little over a year, but I've been divorced a little bit over 5 years. And so it's just sometimes he'll turn a corner and I think we're going in the right direction. And then he just disappoints me like day after day. You know, he's very inconsistent in his, you know, text messages and phone calls and reaching out to me and getting together. And, you know, and he's, this one person is one that I really like.
Okay.
And,
now, does he know you're seeing other people?
We don't really talk, no.
Okay. So,
I mean, not
in
that
all,
I'm seeing, I'm like dating other people. Cause I'm,
okay.
Like,
but does he
dating.
Know you're dating other people?
He does not.
Okay. So there's a little dishonesty here going on. And so,
well, that's because I feel that he's not giving me what I want. So I guess, and he basically said that he can't really give me, he's not giving me what I want, but that's basically what he can give, and he can't really reveal.
Okay, but why haven't the two of you had the talk about that we date other people, we see other people?
He avoids.
Okay, so like your
every
relationship.
Every time I try to talk to him, he keeps avoiding me. He was like, oh, no, we're not talking about that.
Okay, well, he's a little bit in denial of the situation, but, you know, if you're seeing other people, it's kind of hard for you to expect him to commit to you or come up to the plate because, you know, he may sense you're seeing other people. He may, you know, not be comfortable with that situation. I understand why you are because I wouldn't put my eggs in that basket either if he's giving me mixed messages. But it's almost like you need to have the talk. Have you told him that you want to see him and only him and you'd like to have an exclusive relationship?
I have said
told?
That.
And he just poo-poos it away?
Well, he poo-poos, but he says that he's, you know, I'm the only one that he's with, but, like, this is all that he can give.
Okay, now,
and
it's funny because, you know, the men are calling all the shots now, and I wrote a blog, and it got, like, thousands of, like, responses, you know, and reads on it. It's basically, like, why are we letting men call all the shots again, women? What's happened? I mean, in the past, men made all the money, and they told us, you could be my wife, but I can have my cake and eat it too, and you can't go anywhere because you can't work and support yourself. So now we've got the men that are telling us, you could be my booty call, but not my girlfriend. You know, you could be my friends with benefits, but not my fiance. I can only give you this. I can't give you that. Doesn't it sound like that man is calling all the shots? Doesn't it sound like the master-slave archetype all over again, only, like, worse than it used to be? I mean, women are taking a lot of crap from men. And
I am taking a lot. And I feel like, do I end it now? Or is there something, like, people always tell me things, and I'm like, do I fight for it? Or do I just say, hey, listen, I can't do this anymore because, you know, it does hurt me. It just,
and
I kind of wait around
you.
For him and,
I mean,
you know,
relationships work in five-year cycles. You've been divorced for 5 years, okay? You didn't leave a marriage to go into a relationship that you're not an equal at. You didn't come this far in liberating yourself from a marriage and supporting yourself to have a man who's not treating you as an equal. I mean, he's like, you know, it's all about him. I mean, I can't deal with this now. I can't whatever. You know, God knows what time it's on the planet. So if God brings a love, a soulmate relationship, he knows what time it is. You better be ready for it when God brings it because he isn't going to bring it again to this guy. I mean, he's been hurt. hasn't gotten over the divorce yet. And I'm not even thinking it was such a great love affair. It's just that, you know, a divorce is an earthquake. There's a little bit of depression in his cards. He looks a little bit, you know, like he's still got some anger issues to work out. And, you know, he cares about you. He likes you a lot. There's also something very strange about men. Men used to commit to women because they wanted sex, and they weren't going to get sex without commitment. And they wanted sex regularly, so they had a committed relationship. Now men are like, well, because of Tinder, they think there's a million women waiting for them, or because of internet porn, they're masturbating and they don't need women. So it's kind of like, why wouldn't you want to come make love to you and be with you regularly? I mean, isn't that like, you know, what people normally did in the past? You know, do you ask him what he does for sex or why he doesn't want to be with you?
No, I think that, you know, sexually I do please him, and I think that we have that chemistry.
Of course you do.
And, you know, I don't really think that he's out there looking for someone else. I think that he just doesn't want to be, you know, committed. And I'm not somebody that puts that pressure on somebody. I like a balance. I have a lot of friends. I like to do my thing, but I like, you know, if you're going to say that you're going to see me or you commit to a plan, I look forward to it, and then I don't want to be let down, and I feel like...
Well, that's also commitment phobia. It's an otherwise nice person, and he looks like a nice person here. It's an otherwise nice person that does something cruel, okay? You were looking forward, and then he just doesn't come. I mean, men are doing this all the time to women now. They make dates, they don't show up, or they just, you know, they just ghost them, they just don't respond. I mean, this is something you would not do to your friends, so you might want to have the talk. I don't know what we are, but I would hope we're at least friends. And friends do not flatly people stand them up, or we don't have any friends. So I expect to be treated the way you would treat your friend. I mean, in this day and age of cell phones, there's no reason if you can't make it or you change your mind, you can't let me know in a reasonable amount of time. But what he's doing is he does want to see you. Okay, but then he doesn't like that he's not in control of his feelings. And so what he does is pretend that he, you know, doesn't want to see you, or he tries to control, like you got really close, and then he'll cancel the next time because, you know, you got too close and it's like out of control for him. So he'll just cancel even if he wants to see you. So it's crazy here. So it's kind of, you know, putting it out to him that this isn't going to work for you forever. If you had a different personality or whatever, maybe you could just accept the way it is. But, you know, if you want more from him, you're going to have to pretty much let him know this, you know, this is not what I'm signing on for. I am looking for
right.
a committed
relationship.
Well, that's
what I was thinking about talking to him. He's actually Cuban, and so I don't know if it's culturally something. You know, I met, like, some close family members, and they were like, oh, I haven't seen him so happy, and,
of course.
You know, I'm so happy to see him happy, and, you know, and I think, like, I thought that was, like, a turning point, like, when he invited me to that, and then...
And it was, exactly, because commitment phobics usually can't let us meet their friends and family, and when they do it, it's a big step forward, and then they take 12 steps back. So what he does is, in my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, step 17 is commitment phobia. And they're so predictable in their behaviors. You just get close, and then all of a sudden they're running. And it's such mixed messages, but, you know, mixed messages make people crazy. If you want to make somebody crazy, beat them while you say, I love you. I mean, he's giving you mixed messages. We're close, and then all of a sudden he's pulling away. So it's kind of, if it was like he was slowly always coming close to you, you would say, okay, we're moving forward, and that would be okay. But it's just that we move forward, and then all of a sudden we're dancing backwards.
Right, that's how I feel.
And you're not wrong to feel confused and angry and upset by this, because the mixed messages are something that commitment phobics do. They are also narcissists, by the way. It's always about them, okay? And they don't care, you know, that it may be hurting you. And, you know, it's something that you, if you could accept the way it is, you know, he'd probably go on with this dance like this for 5 years. You won't feel any closer than him 5 years from now, but it'll be just like it is now. Or, you know, you can do what we were telling John to do, the other caller, is you take your 2 feet out and say, you know, this is not really what I want. You know, I want to have a real relationship with you where we're close and we get closer. Or, you know, I have to bail out of this because, you know, it does make you crazy, mixed messages. And, you know, most people can handle it. And, you know, he doesn't want to hear that you're with anybody because he is very jealous, by the way.
So well, I've really seen that because he has said, like, if I haven't called him back, like, after, like, when he's, like, if I don't respond immediately after him, he'll be like, well, maybe this is, you know, this is a good time to end it because I can't give you what you want. I'm like, wait a second. What I was sleeping.
But do you notice he's calling all the shots? Like, if you don't answer him, then he gets pissed and has a little temper tantrum, okay? But if you try to text him and he doesn't answer you, it's like on his time. So,
right.
You know, are you seeing he's got some narcissism here? That it's about him and it's not always about what you want?
Absolutely.
Relationships are about caring what the other person wants. I mean, in terms of, if it's important to you that he returns your texts or your calls, then return them. If you don't want to return them, then get somebody else who doesn't care if they return them. It's like, just, you know, he's a person who's really calling all the shots. I mean, he, you know, Cubans, Italians, the old male cultures, they always called all the shots, okay? I mean, it's a patriarchal culture. But, you know, he's drawn to your strength. It's one of the things he likes about you, by the way, and your independence, but he's scared. And, you know, he's a person who's been hurt, and yet you're offering him, you know, a relationship. And, you know, how long have you been seeing him, by the way?
Like 10 months.
Okay, because usually, you know, by 2 months from now, at the year mark, you're going to know whether you can continue this or not, you know, the way it is. And it doesn't mean it's over if you tell him, you know, look, I want all or nothing. And if he says, well, I'm not ready for it, then you take your 2 feet out. Doesn't mean 3 months from now he doesn't come back saying, okay, I'm ready. Because you know, more women would do this, men would realize they're losing women. But women just let them not grow up. I mean, a higher love is the unknown territory. Men can go to war. They can't go to love. It's frightening. And, yes, he was married, but it wasn't all that great a love affair. So he was kind of what I call a committed commitment phobic, married to a woman he didn't love all that much. Now, you know, you have a heart, soul, mind, body connection. Do you remember feeling that when you first met him, a very strong connection?
Yes, I did.
And he felt it too. So he's scared because a higher love, you're not in control of all your emotions. And it's the same thing with John's girl, Vivian. She's, you know, she's been unhappily married for a long time. Now she was offered a soulmate, and she's so scared to embrace a higher love because it means let's heal our issues, let's grow up, let's care about another person. You're not in control of your feelings. You know that you're not really in control of your feelings, how you feel about him. You know, you can't just stop them. They're there. And
right.
Mostly
well, that's
he's
the
just,
thing.
And so he's afraid, you're afraid. But give it like 2 more months and try to tell him what you want, what you're looking for. And if he keeps saying, well, I'm not really looking for that, I don't really want commitment, then have the courage at the year mark to say, well, you know, I think this isn't healthy for me or you. And
so wait for a year. And then another thing is, like, when we're together, which is like amazing, but he's not a big kisser, which is obviously part of intimacy, and
right.
That has. And do you think that he controls that because,
yes, because
he doesn't want to get
intimate.
Too close?
You know, with prostitutes, they do everything but kiss. Okay, because
well,
kissing
I don't
is intimate.
Think of it like that.
No, but kissing is intimate. So I'm not saying he's doing it, but you know, prostitutes do not let a John kiss them because that's not because that's too intimate. So he's trying to make water that sacred sexuality that you probably had in the beginning when you felt really, really close to him. He's trying to water down some of the intimacy. So, you know, he's afraid. He's afraid to love somebody who could die in him. He's afraid to love somebody who could leave him. You know, there's massive fears of abandonment, this guy. So, you know, he's just controlling it. I could see he cares about you a lot. You know, you're his dream woman. He likes your intelligence. He likes your feistiness. He likes all of that. But, you know, he is a man who perhaps needs to know he's going to lose you. And, you know, you'll find that by the time you hit the year, you're not going to be able to go on with it too much being, you know, we're close but not close. With it. It's ridiculous. Because it's not starting out a romance in the right way. A romance is supposed to start out intimate and you keep getting more intimate. Not that we keep getting less close. It's not natural. And
right.
And it's already determining the pattern what your relationship will be like. He's not very good at saying the I love you word or anything like that.
And yeah, he usually goes like very quiet if I like reveal any of my feelings.
Right. And you know, it just shows that he's got issues, he hasn't healed, you know, he's gotta grow up a bit. And you know, it's not a question of him not caring about you. He does care about you. But, you know, unfortunately, 45% of people are offered a soulmate love. 1% are maintaining it now, actually keeping it as two equals who treat each other as equals, who communicate well, who they're the best friends with each other. And it's so rare. But isn't that what you want?
Yes, of course.
And I think you became a little bit of a closet commitment phobic after your divorce. You became afraid. And so God brought you this man who's showing you love without commitment is pain. Are you realizing that?
Oh, absolutely. It's like it's really hurting me a lot. And that I keep saying to myself, I need to end this because I can't deal with the pain anymore. I can't deal with, the highs and the lows. And I feel like I can't do it anymore, but then I love being with him and I really enjoy our time together. But then obviously there's those missing links.
Right. And this is something I wouldn't rush it. You know what I mean? Like you could stop seeing him tomorrow, but you're not quite ready. And you need to be like putting the cards on the table when you see him, what you want. You know, I'm really wanting a committed relationship. I'm just saying it to you. This is what I want. You know, do with it what you want. And just, but be honest with him. That, you know, you really do want more than we have. And, you know, just because, you know, narcissists think if they tell us a little bit of truth and we have to buy it, like, well, I can't do this right now. I'm not interested in it. I can't do it. Well, then that doesn't mean I have to accept what you're telling me. I could reject that. I could say, well, you're not ready, but I am. So it's okay for you to say this isn't working for me the way it is. And,
well, that's
you know,
what I always have a hard time with that kind of stuff, and every time I try to talk to him, he kind of shoos me away. You know, like he kind of like shoos
that's
it down.
Again,
like not
that's
now,
that's manipulation. It's a that's narcissism. He's telling you what you can talk about and not talk about. Okay, and that's a form of manipulation. If you want to talk to somebody, he can't be dodging the bullet and evading. You know, you have to talk about what matters. I mean, I have the elephant in the room nobody talks about is the only thing you should talk about. Like, let's talk about it. His whole family never really talks about anything that matters, but you can't discount a person or tell them, I don't want to talk about this. You know, it's not your decision what we talk about. I need to say this. So you might find he's a man you don't want to be with because do you want to be with a man who tells you what you can talk about and not talk about?
I mean, right. Well, that's right.
I mean, that's not healthy. And, you know, and he's the one who's controlling how close you can get because you're controlling what you can discuss and what you can't discuss. So it's really uncomfortable, you know, to be near people like that. First of all, you know that you feel like you're walking on eggshells because you're approaching a topic that you just know he doesn't want to talk about. But,
exactly.
But don't this time, you know, just tell him you're not poo-pooing this away. You're not evading it. We're not switching the topic. This is the topic. And, you know, the topic is, what am I to you? Where is this going? You know, I am at the stage where I want a committed relationship. That's what I'm looking for. And, you know, if that's not what you want, then just say it. You know, just, you know, have the courage to say it. I mean, in every way he's committed to you, and I can see he just hasn't surrendered to it, by the way. People have to surrender to love. He hasn't put that white flag up. Okay, I realize I can't fight this anymore. You know, he's fighting the feelings too long and too hard. So do us a favor and call back again. you know, soon and let us know if you've put the cards on the table and told him what you want.
Okay, I definitely will. And I should give it a couple more months, you think?
Give it two more months of just being, you know, being a great invitation to love. If you don't want to say anything and pressure him for the next 2 months, make love to him, be the best loving person you can be a great invitation to love, and then 2 months from now, address it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're
okay.
so loving to him, it might be a hard invitation to resist, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
instead of holding
the kind of person
back,
I am.
Instead of holding back because I don't want to give to him because I don't know what I am to him, what your goal is to have him love you completely and be there for you. So love him unconditionally for 2 months, the best that you can, and see if that doesn't break him down. And if it doesn't, at a year mark, then you say, look, I've been doing my all, but I can see it's not what you want. And then take your two steps out. He'll remember the 2 months he had being so loved. He won't forget that.
Right.
And that could bring him
okay.
back to you. I mean, but being a bitch isn't going to make it work, by the way.
No,
I mean,
definitely not. Exactly. You know, and I don't want to be that needy girl that, like, wah, you know? I just,
right, of
you
course.
Know?
Because it's not attractive. And first of all, don't you just want to be someone that's so loving he can't resist?
Exactly.
Well, and that's pretty easy for you to do. I could tell that.
Oh, absolutely. I can do
well,
that.
Okay. I love that laugh that you had. I love that.
Thank you.
Well, good luck
thank
to you,
you
calling again. You're welcome.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go to Jennifer now. She's the 3099.
Yes, I'm looking her up with. I just lost Jennifer. Up there she is. Okay.
Right.
Her all of her info disappeared, Cindy. Jennifer is looking to see if she has any career changes coming her way. She thinks that she raised her kids fairly well, and she's had jobs always, but now she's looking for career. So please
great.
Help Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer. You're on the air. Did I get that right? I was doing that off the top of my head.
You did, and you know, but there's something. I know how you guys like confirmation, and I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago I had one of those readings where it's just you and me on the phone, Cindy.
Yes,
and
I remember.
Of course. And you said, you know, your ex is going to come after you and not want to pay you money, and it's. And I went, I can't imagine that happening. But you said, stick in there. You know, it's for the kids. It's not for you. And even though you don't like a lot of arguments, and sure enough, he's taken me to court.
Well,
you know.
I just got the court card here that you're going to win. So
yay!
How are you going to win this? By just the facts. You're not going to get sick over it. You're not going to lose sleep over it. You knew this was coming. You didn't want to believe it. But just, you know, he's going to come up with stuff. You have to have facts to back why he's wrong, because he is wrong. Okay. He's just kind of doing it to bust your chops, by the way. And
I think he's just a cheap prick.
Right. And he thinks and he thinks what he's asking for is correct. And,
he's always right. Yeah.
He's always right. But, you know, do you have all your facts in a row? Do you have the information?
It's somewhere. I just have to collect it.
Right, and do that.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it. And, you know, how much money is he asking you for?
He's wanting to cut my child support in half.
And how old are your kids now?
11, 12, and 17.
And he wants to cut it in half?
Yeah.
It's already been court agreed on. So
yeah.
So, I mean, he's out of his mind. So,
well,
you know, you just bring your court papers. He looks like he's going to claim financial hardship of some sort here. Okay.
Mm.
Now, I don't, you know, that his finances have changed and he can't pay it anymore. Do you know what he does for a living? Do you know,
he's got a very good job that he's had, and he's not self-employed, so it's all on paper.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know how he's going to pull that bullshit out of the hat, okay? So so it looks to me like his finances are the same, but he's going to try to claim something different. So, you know, if you have it court ruled, you know, he's just trying to give you a hard time too about it. I mean, he's hoping they'll, you know, he's asking for half. He's hoping maybe they'll make it three quarters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're going to come out good in court, so don't worry about it too much.
Now, I think it'll be sort of like the Gong Show, like stand-up comedy. So I'm looking at the entertainment value of it.
Right, that's what I would do, is he makes an idiot out of himself. Now, The universe is going to give you a better job, and you are a very good mother, mm-hmm. by the way, but they don't want to give you a better career change until this is settled. Because he's going to claim you're making more money. That's what he's going to, because that's why I asked you, is there a change in his, and you say, no, it's the same job. He thinks you're making more money, and he shouldn't have to pay you.
No, I'm not. And I'm only on contract for a while. So, you know, my contract ends. So they can't base it on any of solid earnings for me. So
right. That's why I said, you know, I do see a career change for you, but not until we settle the court case. Because if God gave you a really good job tomorrow and say, you know, you're making three times the amount of money you make, he's going to say, I don't have to pay it. And the court will probably rule in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
So this way, you know, you have to show your finances are still the same.
Mm,
and
okay.
nothing's changed. So,
mm-hmm.
And at that point, then you'll make more money. But when you start making more money, you got to make sure you keep this quiet. You don't tell your kids. You don't tell anybody you're making money. Okay? You tell the kids we're poor. We're poor. Mommy works, but she doesn't make any money. Okay? So that dad doesn't get any wind of this. Because if he gets wind you're making any kind of money, he'll be back in court again. So
okay.
He really somehow has the idea that you're making much more money.
No.
So if that's not true, then he's certainly not going to win. So
you
want to make sure that, you know, you bring into court what your salary is, what your taxes. Did you do your taxes for last year?
Yep, I did my taxes. I was actually even unemployed for 6 months last year, so I had made hardly anything.
Okay,
and,
so you know, bring in those taxes. That's what you need to bring, a copy of your taxes, darling. So look, I'm hardly made any money. And if you want to know what God hardly let you make any money last year, he knew son of a bitch was going to take it to court this year.
Exactly.
So you would end up losing all this money because he would have gotten paying half child support for the next decade. So trust in why God did not give you a better job yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
good.
But as soon as this is settled, abundance comes. So you want to make sure that you get your ducks in a row. And I'm laughing because you really thought that, your husband was a much better guy than he is, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And you know what? You said what you did, and I didn't dispute it. I just took note of it. And then when this happened, I went, yep, she was right. Because when you tell people things and they don't happen right away, they dismiss it. But, you know, sometimes things happen 3 years down the road.
Right. And people don't, you know, sometimes have to understand that the universe saw this coming for about the last year. He's been thinking about it for a year. And that's why,
mm-hmm.
you know, the universe made sure you were unemployed for 6 months. And, you know, I see that. You know, he thinks he's going to win this battle, but it certainly doesn't look it to me. So, you know, you go in there, and after this, and when are you going to court? Is there a court date already?
Not yet. I didn't. He sent something, and they said, sign this. And I said, no way. So, if you don't sign it in 2 weeks, we're going to go to court. Oh, I'm scared.
All right. All right. So let them take you to court. I think he thinks, you would just compromise with him on it and maybe settle for, you know, a couple hundred dollars less, you know.
Uh-huh.
But don't settle on this because, you know, it was ruled already. I do see much better money in the upcoming year, but as soon as this court case is settled, you know what I mean, and not until then. And just don't lose any sleep over this, by the way.
Oh. And there's another thing that you said, too. The fact that I'm not actually physically divorced keeps me from having success and money, too, because it's a shared asset.
Exactly. So when are you getting really divorced?
I was hoping to kill two birds with one stone in court.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, because you want to separate your finances from him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are still, you know, married to him and... you know, maybe you need to have the divorce settled and, you know, the child support settled in a divorce court, you know, where it's more written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise you to just, you haven't been living with him for a while, you know, see if you can consult a lawyer and see if you've been separated long enough that it's almost, the divorce can go through quickly. I don't know what the laws in your state are. What state are you in again?
Oh, I'm in Canada. You have to be separated for a year.
Okay,
and it's been
yeah.
5 years. And you said something to someone else about everything in 5-year cycle too.
Right. So if I were you, take care of that now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but nothing is bad in your cards. You know, just try to get the divorce from him. Separate your finances. And, you know, a nice future holds for you. You know, your cards are really very good. It's just that he is annoying. Amanda is annoying. But narcissists are very predictable. Okay, they always
mm-hmm.
resurface. It's like, you know, the alien movie where you think you just killed the alien and then, like, the next scene it pops back alive again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the symbolism for narcissists and the unfixables. Just when you thought you killed them off, they're back. So it's like a virus you just can't kill. So, yeah, call in and let us know what happens with the court. But I'm just laughing because this man really has his nerve. Really has
oh, yeah.
his nerve. Well, thank
you
for calling
me.
What did I tell you?
10 years ago, too, you said, I don't like him. You shouldn't be with him. You'll be so much happier if you're not with him. And I thought, oh, I can't imagine getting a divorce. And then, sure enough, within 3 years, I wasn't with him anymore.
All right. So just look, we could have manifested all this stuff after that reading 10 years ago. But it takes humans like 5-year cycles to move on. And, you know, we're a little slow. But the universe was telling you, get out now. Get out while the getting's good.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised. It does take time for things to unfold. And your kids were very little. So, I mean, it's not
yeah.
easy. A divorce is an earthquake. So you got to be ready
mm-hmm.
for an earthquake. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, sometimes it just takes some time. But I'm laughing because, you know, people will tell me all the time that predictions that they swore I was wrong on are correct. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, well, why would they tell me this if it's not true? Why would I hear that from the other side? Why would they lie, you know? And, you know, sometimes people have sworn that I'm wrong, and they curse me out and they scream at me and they hate me. And then they call like a year later, I'm sorry, you were right. I'm like, yeah, well, you could have not screamed at me about it, you know what I mean? You could have, you know what I'm saying?
Mentally
I lost sleep for 2 days over that one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you think I want to be right on this stuff? I wish to God I was wrong on that kind of stuff, on bad stuff, you know what I mean? I want to be right on it, you know? You just want to be wrong. But,
yeah.
you know, again, the unfixables are so predictable. That's the riot.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. We're just at the end
Thanks,
of our
Cindy.
Show, and thank you for calling
Thanks,
in.
Nicole.
We'll speak to you again.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Nicole, for everything tonight. And I want to thank my daughter, Shauna, because she's listening. I just love that. Isn't that sweet, too, since our show? I love that, you know. So
it's
anyway,
always good
Nicole,
when your fam supports.
Right, and especially some people that know us. So we'll speak next week. Everybody have a great week. Nicole, thank you for doing a great job.
And thank you for doing a great job, Cindy. We'll talk to everybody next week.
Bye.